Guys, welcome back to another episode of The Pulse. I say it every week. We're talking to people who are doing things, who are making a path, like trailblazing, right? Easy for me to say. And we have somebody here who's been doing all of that, but has a tremendous story from challenges to celebrity status to success. That's quite a necklace they got on. Daryl Austin. Bungie Oblicheni is the brand. Mm-hmm. Daryl Austin is the man. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I want to talk about your whole experience here on The Pulse. I haven't seen you in a minute. Yeah. That's a necklace. So life's treating you well.
Yeah.
Things are going pretty well right now. How do I get one of those?
You got to hustle.
I'm going to start a brand. I'm going to do my thing. Thank you for coming in. Most of us, we're aware of your story. And a lot of people out there are aware of your story because you've been a lot of different places.
Right.
But take us back. Like, what is the foundation for where you are today, the things you've had to overcome?
Okay, well, the foundation, I was a rap artist first. And, you know, I just always loved shoes. I always loved apparel because when I went on stage, I always wanted to try to look different. I wanted to try to look like a star rather than me having to tell people that I was a star. So that's where my love for fashion actually came from the music business.
Okay. And so you were having a pretty successful career. You were getting out there.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah.
As a hip hop artist.
Yeah.
Okay. And a fashion icon.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were on the upward path.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
I ended up getting arrested. When I got my first record deal, I got arrested, and I ended up doing almost 3 years in prison. And after I ended up doing that 3 years in prison, I came home and I got another record deal. And then I started doing shows with Nelly and a couple other people in St. Louis, and you know, I met all the different stars like LL Cool J and Lil' Kim and all these people. And then when the music career started to go a little bit more, when I started to get a lot of airplay on the radio and stuff like that, I got arrested again. And I ended up getting almost a 7-year sentence. And that's when everything kind of changed for me after that.
So success steps. Like you were growing, you hit a roadblock. Mm-hmm. You already defeated the odds because you got out, didn't miss a beat more or less, continue that upward path, hits you again, and you have to get out and try to rebuild.
Yeah.
What's that feeling?
It was hard because, you know, when you first come home from prison, people, they look at you like you're a criminal. They don't give you an opportunity. Whenever you have any kind of situation on your background, it's like people look at you kind of funny. And, you know, the opportunities just aren't there. So I had to basically create my own business, which was a barbershop. I started working as a barber. I got my barber's license while I was incarcerated. And I just saved my money and just kept saving until I was able to actually do the fashion that I really wanted to do.
What changed you? I mean, what changed? You didn't go back, mm-hmm. you know, so there were two circumstances. You've always been that kind of entrepreneurial spirit. Mm-hmm. But what was the change that made sure you did not go back?
When I was incarcerated, my grandfather passed away, and he was like my father. So when that happened, I wasn't able to mourn properly because I was in prison. And I remember talking to my mom on the phone, and she was just like, what are you going to do with yourself? Like, you damaged your whole life with, you know, these things that you're doing in the streets, and it's like that music career is not going to work for you. You're getting older. And the thing that is weird about the music business, and especially with rap, when you get to a certain age, you're kind of out the window. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of in a situation where by the time my 7-year sentence was up, I was going to be too old to be a rap artist. I didn't have any kind of idea what I was going to do. And that's when I decided, you know what, let me get my barber's license. And while I'm here, I have nothing but time, so I'm going to sketch a pair of sneakers. Like, it just came out of nowhere. I just decided to sketch. And when I started sketching that one pair of sneakers, it came out so good that I was like, I'm just going to keep sketching and just keep sketching. And before I knew it, I had 200 sketches of sneakers and then glasses and jackets and shirts. It just kept going on and on and on. So when I finally left prison, you know, 5 years after that, you know, I had like a whole book full of, you know, designs. So I felt like I was the most creative there because I had nothing but time. And now that we're in the street, it's like, you know, I'm running here, running there, doing this, doing that. So I don't have time to design. So a lot of my designs are coming from old designs that I did back when I was incarcerated.
You know, it's interesting because we've had, I don't know, a lot. We've had several people who have faced similar challenges. You know Wallo.
Yeah.
You know, so
I was actually incarcerated with Wallo.
Were you really?
Wallo was in the same prison as me. I saw him every day for years.
So what is it? And talking to him and talking to you and talking to other people that we've interviewed, you immediately sit back and go, how did they end up in this situation? They're creative. They're motivated. You guys look like people who would have been and are being successful in anything, mm-hmm. you know, that any path that you would have chosen. And you're proving that. Like, what? It's almost like you're changing kind of the image of some of the people who end up incarcerated. Mm-hmm. You guys unique, or is this a place where there's a whole bunch of dreams that ended up on the wrong
I think that I met the most creative people that I've ever met in prison. Like, there's just so many creative people there. When it comes time for me and even Wallo, I think that at the time that we were growing up, the street life was the cool thing to do. And I didn't realize that this cool thing that we were doing was going to ruin our futures. So, you know, at the time we were doing it, it didn't seem like we were, you know, ruining our futures. It was just, oh, so-and-so went to jail. Okay, it's normal. You know, it was like a normal thing. Like in my neighborhood, if someone went to jail, it wasn't a big thing. It wasn't like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Like, it was just normal. If you didn't go to jail, it was weird. You know, so it was like, it was just, you know, just, I guess because of the circumstances that people were in. And I'm not even from like the city. I'm actually from the suburbs. But like where I was from on that particular block that I was from and those particular blocks that I was living on, you know, certain people went to college and other people were living the street life. And that's just what it was. Yeah.
You, him, several others, you get out, you're successful. But you also have dedicated a pretty significant portion of your life teaching young people mm-hmm. a better way.
Right.
Why is that so important?
Because I don't want to see kids go through what we went through. And I think that we were misled when we were growing up. I believed hip-hop. When I was coming up, I believed everything that these rappers were saying. I didn't realize it was an act. And I also thought that, you know, rappers were rich. I thought that everyone had money. And I'm realizing all these years later that they weren't rich. It was just, you know, a facade that they were putting on. Most of these guys weren't really living the street life. But it was like a movie that we were trying to imitate. And it wasn't real life. So now when I see these younger kids coming up and I see that they're idolizing all these rappers and they're promoting drug use and they're promoting all these different things, it's an act. And I just want these people to understand that these rappers are putting costumes on and they're going in front of the camera and they're acting a certain way, but when they leave the camera, they're not that person anymore. So I just really want people just to know what it is. And it's like, you know, the only people that you hurt when you're actually doing prison sentences is your family. You know, like, you know, my mom was devastated with all the different things I was doing, and I didn't care at the time, so I was living this character that wasn't really me. You know, so it's like, you know, I didn't think about all the things that I was doing to my family until after I actually got out of prison.
Second time you get out, you Bungie Oblacheni. Right. Is that when that was born?
Bungie, it was actually born like prior to me going to prison. Okay. It was like I started to dibble and dabble with it like right before I went to prison. And then after that, it just became the real deal because while I was incarcerated, that's when I started working on business plans, came up with designs, and I learned all that stuff while I was incarcerated.
So for people who don't know, I got like, got on my Bungie brand. Mm-hmm. For people who don't know, what is Bungie Oblacheni?
Bungie Oblacheni, Bungie is for all the ups and downs that goes on in people's lives. When you think of a bungee jump, you're going up and down. And Oblacheni is just a synonym for apparel. I wanted to try to do something different. I didn't want to just say Bungie apparel or Bungie wardrobe. So I looked up synonyms for apparel or wardrobe, and I came up with Oblacheni.
Creative people, man. All right. How did you get people? Because obviously the styles are there. Now, you already were somebody who understood the kind of growth process. Mm-hmm. But when I first started talking, I was talking to you about a Save Our Streets initiative those types of things. But you were the sneakers, the clothes were on Bernard Hopkins. Mm-hmm. The clothes were on several different people. How'd you get people to listen, to give you that chance?
It was really rough in the beginning because when you first start, you don't really know what you're doing and the quality wasn't there. And I didn't know how to get quality merchandise. So I used to get laughed at. I used to try to sell my sneakers and clothes in the barbershop. People would be like, man, that stuff is cheap. So I used to try to go above and beyond to try to get to that level. And I remember when I first met B-Hop.
He doesn't pull any punch. Like, no,
he doesn't.
Intended.
He doesn't. Yeah. When I first, the first day I met him, I ended up showing him my shoes. And he just was like, I would never wear these. I would never wear these. And he even called the owner of the restaurant over and was like, Gabby, would I wear something like this? And the restaurant owner was like, nah, champ, you wouldn't. And the thing that changed his mind was right before I was about to leave that meeting, because he already told me that he wasn't going to wear my stuff, I asked him, I was like, listen, I was formerly incarcerated. I saw your mural at the same prison that I was at. And I just want to know, how did you get from, you know, being in prison and, you know, surviving parole to being the millionaire that you are now? And when he saw me, like, he looked me in the eye and he said, you made all this stuff while you were incarcerated? I was like, yeah. He was like, yo, come on, we're going to the gym. And he took me to the gym. And then he put all my stuff on and was like, take whatever videos, whatever photos you want, just because of how I told him I created the brand. And then after we ended up doing that, him and his stylist at the time, they ended up taking me to Neiman Marcus. And they were like, this is where you need to be. Like, you know, I'm thinking that this is going to be a one-time deal that I'm going to see this guy. He gave me his phone number and everything. But literally, he believed in me so much that he took me to Neiman Marcus like that following week. And they were like showing me different sneakers. And they were like, you need to be on this level. I don't know what this is. You're giving me this, but you need to be here. So that's what like kind of led me to believe like, okay, I can do this Neiman Marcus thing. I was already in love with Neiman Marcus in the first place. But like when he did that, it broadened my horizons to be like, okay, this is what I'm looking for. So then I ended up buying, you know, a couple of pair of sneakers from Neiman Marcus, and I actually sent them to the factory. Like, this is what it is that I'm looking for. This is the quality. And that's when I started to learn more about tech packs and how you go about, you know, getting your you know, quality to that level that you're looking for.
You know, I've known Bernard for years. When I went back to, I used to work in radio. He used to come on back then when he was first becoming champ. It was like before Trinidad fights and all that stuff. And I'm interning around. He's been that guy, you know, who helps people out. But that's an interesting story to hear, that he just took an interest in you the way you're now taking interest in other people.
Yeah, and without him giving me that start, I would have been in a lot of trouble, because once people started to see that he was backing me, that's when more and more people started to pay attention to the brand and was like, oh, okay, he's serious. And I think that, you know, in my neighborhood, that's the only people I was trying to impress. I didn't really care about anyone outside of that. So when I started to get all the news buzz and all the different things that was going on for my career, I was looking at it like, I can prove to my neighborhood now that I'm actually doing quality merchandise. But it didn't work.
Okay.
My neighborhood doesn't support. I don't know what it is. I don't know what goes on, but the neighborhood doesn't support. Luckily, everyone else outside of the neighborhood did. So
that's the neighborhood still doesn't support. Nah. And neighborhood, but the community supports. Is it just the neighborhood, or you're not getting really?
It's the community that I grew up in. There's certain people that support. But even when you came to the Neiman Marcus event, there were people that were there that I would have never imagined to come support me. But the people that I thought was going to come didn't show up.
Really?
Yeah. It seemed like the more famous that the brand started to get, the more that friends and family started to pull away. It was the weirdest thing. I think for the most part, for someone that's looking from the outside in, they're like, he's having the time of his life. He's on this news channel. He's doing this. He's doing this. You know, and it was the hardest time of my life. It was.
Because what? People didn't believe in you?
It wasn't that people didn't believe in me. I think that once I got to a certain level, people just looked at it like, he's too big to talk to me now. And that wasn't the case. I wanted to talk to them. And it was like, you know, it was just the weirdest thing. It was like even family members, it was just, you know, people just started to distance themselves. So it was a hard time for me. I liked it better before all the fame. That's the best way I can put it. I know it sounds kind of crazy, but like I did like it better before all the fame came.
You know what is crazy is that I've heard that a lot. Mm-hmm. Now, and people see those types of things. Both you and I are on social media, and you see all of the quotes and clips from people. Mm-hmm. You know, and you wonder sometimes if that's real.
Yeah.
And then you experience it and you live it, and it's like, oh, you changed. Like, no, I didn't change. The way you interacted with me changed. Mm-hmm. You know, and the best way I can explain it
is, it's almost like you can be on social media and you can put a post up, and you'll get thousands of people that'll give you compliments, and one person gives you a bad remark. You remember that one person more than you remember the 1,000 people that gave you compliments. So for me, even though hundreds of people came out to these events, I know the 10 people that I wanted to see that didn't come. Yeah. So like, I'm thinking more about that than the actual win. And then it's like, you know, again, like, I think that, you know, when you start to get on TV and you start doing your interview, people don't understand. You literally have 30 seconds to come up with your answers and then you're done. And it's like, well, you didn't mention me, and I helped you out, and I did this. And I'm like, yo, like, it's not about you right now. It's about me doing what I'm doing right now. And it's like, I don't think that people understand, like, how fast your mind has to work. And I don't think about all the little things that happen on my come up. Yeah. So I think that a lot of people get offended and stuff like that. So
it's a shame that you have to.
Yeah.
But with all that being said, the journey continues upward. Like you continue to have those successes. Mm-hmm. So where are you now? Like I know, and at this point it's probably all sold out, but you had a whole bunch of shoes, not a lot, but some merchandise. You decided to do an early Black Friday sale.
Yep.
And even you were shocked by the results.
I was.
Okay.
It was funny because it was actually like unscripted. Mike Greenwich was there at my office and we were just, you know, talking. And then I ended up looking at him and he was on the phone and one of my other friends was there shopping. And I said, you know what? Every shoe in here is going to be $100. And I did it live, like just on my phone. And then Mike just chimed in and it was just all unscripted. And before I knew it, that night, the website was blowing up.
Be careful putting your business in Mike G's hands. Mike said, this one's 100. Yeah, yeah. And this one's 100. Your whole business team behind the camera going,
So, so it worked out in our favor. I think that, you know, for the most part, I think that a lot of people were like, is he crazy? Like, why would he do something like that? You know, we weren't even really making money on certain merchandise. But I felt like us doing that, it broadened our horizons when it came time for, you know, our supporters and the people that want to actually buy our merchandise. It opened a huge window for us to be able to go national with everything that we did. So it worked out great.
So a bunch of people saw it, a bunch of people supported it, you know, and it continues to grow.
Yep.
So you've had the apparel. You know, you've had the sneakers, you've got some other things that are brewing, right?
Yeah.
You're smiling. So these other things that are brewing, like this is growth. This is new progress. Tell me about these other things that we will share and how that happens.
Yeah, what I wanted to do is I wanted to try to pay homage to the city. And I remember when I was going through a couple of different issues financially with the sneaker brand, I actually decided one day when we were at the barbershop, a friend of mine was like, dang, man, if you had some Eagles merchandise, you'd be rich right now, because we were watching the pep rally, or no, the parade after they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I ended up creating Eagle sneaker, and I literally got the Eagle sneakers back the day before the first game after they won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And I woke up the next morning, I'm looking at Fox 29 watching the news, and Mike Jarrett says, hey, come on down, we're having a pep rally. And I packed up a truck, I put every pair of sneakers in it that I had Eagles, Eagles made, and I just came down, and I started promoting right in front of Fox 29, and I sold all 250 pair right here on Market Street.
Now, to be clear for people who are watching, Eagles inspired gear is different than licensed NFL gear. So you can, in fact, do that and sell that.
Yeah, you have to make changes. You can't use the actual Eagles logos and stuff like that. So you have to make changes to be able to make it inspired.
Absolutely sold. Everybody was like, I love this.
Yeah.
But then what? You kind of chilled with that for a minute?
Yeah, what happened was after I ended up, getting that really, really huge sale that day, I ended up getting new investors. And when I got the new investors, they were more concerned about, legal issues, and they wanted to move past that and move on to the Oblicheni part, which was the high-end fashion. And we just didn't want to go through the whole thing of trying to figure out how to do inspired stuff correctly. So we ended up jumping right into Bungie Albacini and we just pushed forward.
But now the inspired stuff is back.
Yes.
Is making a comeback. All right. So people are going to have to order this kind of stuff. Can we show them a little something?
Absolutely.
Show them a little something. Because we're legit Eagles people here. Yo. So these, what size is it?
That's a size 10.
I can't wear a size 10. So tell me about these.
I actually created this shoe where I wanted to try to get very, very creative with the laces on the back. So this is fully functional. So you can actually lace these up in the back, and you have a strap on the front, and you can run if you have to run, if there's anything going on at the Eagles game.
You got to run away.
You have to run, yeah.
Okay.
And, I just tried to keep the Kelly Green. I actually did the Kelly Green before I actually knew that the Eagles were bringing
them back.
Kelly Green was my favorite, so I wanted to try to do this one. And then I ended up doing...
These are nice.
Yeah, I ended up doing this Kelly Green sneaker right here. This is actually the one that we did back in 2019. I'm bringing that back because so many people wanted to get that, so I'm bringing it back.
Yo, these are nice.
Thank you.
These are going to sell out quick.
And then what we decided to do is I wanted to do designer sweatshirts, designer jerseys. So I ended up taking it back to the old school. And decided to do.
Let's flip it around so we can show.
So that's an Eagle sweatshirt. I wanted to put some stripes on the sleeves, and I designed the Eagle myself. And I just tried to create a whole new look for an Eagle sweatshirt rather than it being just the generic stamp of, you know.
So inspired by.
Inspired by.
There's going to be a whole brand of inspired by coming out shortly. Maybe out now, but they need to go check out your website.
Yeah, and then we have this. This is actually a jersey/hoodie mix that I didn't really see before. So I tried to do something a little different with this one. Okay. So, you know, you have the stitched-in numbers like a regular jersey. And then on the back, you have the hood. And if you unzip the hood, it looks like this, where it float across the back of your shoulder blades. And then if you want to zip it up, then it's a regular full hood. So that's how this one is. And it's warm. This is a wool, made out of wool.
Up,
and it's nice. So it's actually, this actually was an Oblicheni piece that I changed into an Eagles-inspired piece.
So we're paying homage to our area, our city, our team. Is this something that can expand, that you could potentially do with others?
This is definitely what I wanted to do, like, after, like, the first year of us, you know, embracing the whole Philadelphia community. We're going to actually spread it out and do other stuff, and we're going to do colleges as well.
Yeah, I love it. All right, so this is what's next.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is what's next on the business journey.
Yes.
What's next on the life journey? I know you spend a lot of time mentoring. You spend a lot of time helping out young people. What do you want to do aside, above and beyond? And we know this is going to be continue to be a success.
Mm-hmm.
What's the path for you?
Me, I get more joy out of helping people than I do anything else. I went out to Kensington the other day, and I was, you know, trying to get some of the people out there in Kensington to go to a rehab. And, you know, that was a promising thing. I actually teamed up with a group of people called Soldiers of Recovery.
Yeah.
I know you're probably familiar with him. I teamed up with him, and we went out on the streets, and we were just trying to encourage people to go to rehab, like, just to see the people's faces and see that we actually cared about them. It made me feel good. Even when I go to colleges, I speak at Villanova. I speak at Penn State sometimes. I speak at high schools. And when I see these kids actually pay attention to every single word that I say, it makes me feel good, and it makes me feel good that they're actually paying attention. So whatever I could do to help people, that's my ultimate goal. So once I actually get past the, you know, the business side, every free minute that I have is going to be trying to help other people achieve their goals.
Does it feel good that you said that when you were coming up, you were trying to mimic or imitate a life that wasn't real?
Mm-hmm.
You know, these rappers and the things that they were doing. It's got to feel good, and I mentioned Wallow before, but you guys are now people who are showing them a life that is real,
mm-hmm.
like showing them a life that they can pattern themselves after.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to do that, that has to feel good.
It does. It does. And it feels good just to be able to do something legal. It feels good to have people, you know, praise you for your work. I know a lot of people, they don't understand the struggle that Wallow and I had to go through, because it's a lot to be in prison. And I know that we did it to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not innocent. I actually did what I did to go to prison. And, you know, so I'm not trying to, like, cry about it, but it's just the fact that it's a rough life. And for the average person to get out of prison and then create their own business and be successful at it, that's something totally impossible for certain people. So that's the reason why I just, you know, I'm just happy, I'm thankful, and I'm honored that I'm even able to even be in this position.
Yeah, and proud. You're allowed to be proud of your mm-hmm. accomplishments. Like, you did this and continue to do this. Do the young people listen when you try to tell them about it?
I think the young people listen to a certain degree, but I don't think that they understand, again, everything that, you know, I had to go through. I don't really know what Wallow had to go through, but just on the business side of things, just to be able to get respect from people. I think that, you know, people that are in the business world, they don't look at us the same way that they will look at someone that came through the rankings of business. So for me, when I first came into this business, you know, of course I had to, like, rethink how I would speak, because I was a rapper and I would talk with the slang and I was, like, leaning over. So I had to basically, like, learn new mannerisms. I had to teach myself how to speak again. It was a real awkward situation for us, you know, just to be able to get treated with respect. And even to this day, it's like, certain people would just look at you like, well, you're good with doing this, but let us handle this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, your brain works as a designer. Your brain isn't a businessman. And I had to keep reiterating the fact that I am a businessman first and I design second. So that's, like, you know, it's a struggle sometimes. Because even, like I said, even to this day, certain people just, they would rather talk to other people that work with me rather than talking directly to me, because they think that I'm not a businessman. So it's still a work in progress for me.
But clearly something that you have overcome in a lot of ways. Like I mentioned Neiman Marcus, you've got the Inspired By, you're selling out your clothing line, you got that necklace. All these things continue on. And it's an inspiration for young people. And it's why I like telling these stories and showing these, because everybody's not going to be able to be a rapper.
Yeah.
Like everybody's not going to go to the NBA, contrary to what you may think. Everybody's not going to be...
It's like hitting the lottery in order for you to do any of that.
But you can be a businessman.
Absolutely.
Like, that's about your work ethic.
Yep.
Like, what's the message you tell young people who want to now pattern themselves after you?
I just feel like you need to figure out what it is that you want to do with your life, you know, as far as whatever business you want to go into. Always try to find a business that you're going to enjoy doing, because it won't feel like work. Even if you're working 20-hour days, it won't feel like you're working hard because you love doing it. And just stay focused. Even when there's 1,000 doors being slammed in your face, that last door may open up. And that's pretty much what happened with Bungie, and that's the reason why we're here today.
We end every episode of The Pulse with the concept of use your voice for good. Mm-hmm. We've talked about all the things you've done, all the things you've had to overcome. But when you hear the phrase, use your voice for good, what does that mean to you?
To me, I feel like using your voice for good is to try to inspire other people to do good. You know, I feel like when you have a group of people around you that support you, and even a group of people around you that work with you, it'll help you climb. So don't think about yourself. Think about other people first.
I appreciate you coming in, man.
Thank you.
I'm going to take these. I'm going to need that jersey. We're going to do that. Thank you for coming on The Pulse.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Y'all might want to order these. They're going to be sold out in like a hot minute. Thank you once again for joining us on The Pulse with Bill Anderson today with Daryl Alston of Bungie Brand, a great entrepreneur who is doing some tremendous things. And I really enjoy these types of shows because it's people who are showing, one, that you can. You can succeed, you can overcome obstacles, you can make a difference. And two, you can do it in fields that all of us, if we're willing to put in the time, effort, dedication, can find success. So I appreciate his success and I thank him for sharing it. I encourage you to hit like, subscribe, whatever you have to do so you get notifications every Monday when another episode of The Pulse comes out. And make sure you go to either Connected TV, that's Roku, Samsung, Apple TV, or hit up YouTube so you can check out the latest episodes, because you're going to want to see some of this Eagles inspired gear as well as some of his clothing, his sneakers. So make sure you check that out. I promise you, you won't want to miss it. You can always hit me up on social media at BillAFox29. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you, whenever you can, use your voice for good, and have a good one.